Hello, welcome to the RTE Olympics podcast. Feck it anyway, that's what I'm going to say. And I think I speak for a nation. I've been joined by Raph Diallo and Jesse Barr, who are in the Stade de France and who are probably as deflated as the rest of us. And before anybody gives me any crap about saying, oh, you're expecting too much of her, she's too young, she's monumental. If you heard her interview, she's pissed off too. So we're allowed to be disappointed. Jesse, I think it's perfectly natural for everybody to be disappointed, but also be very proud of Rashid Adeleke for coming fourth in her first Olympic final, and it was the fastest Olympic final of all time.
Exactly. I remember sitting in a similar position 8 years ago when Thomas placed fourth, and it's a really weird feeling. It's a really hollow feeling because fourth in the Olympics is incredible. She got into the final, she came fourth, but she didn't get a medal. And we know she was good enough to get a medal. She knows she was good enough to get a medal. Fourth is a really lonely place to be, and I'm sure she's feeling that right now. And I know she's gutted, and it's a really hard one as well because we know she ran one of her fastest times. It would be more disappointing if we knew that she'd ran really poorly, but she ran well. It's just three people are better than her on the day, and I think that's going to be really hard to take for her.
It certainly is. Raph, we were all screaming at the TV here, and I imagine you were the same in the Stade de France. It was that thing coming down the home stretch. She had third, but we knew that the woman behind her, Kaczmarek, is fast. Like she finished it strongly, and you could just see it was like Roadrunner. You could just see it happening, and there was nothing we could do to stop it. At least she held on for fourth. But what was it like in the stadium as the race was developing?
It was tense. I think there was a sense actually that she'd started more slowly than she had in the heats and the semi-finals, but she kind of picked it up after about 200, 300. And then, as you said, in the home straight, she was sitting in third. And then on, Kaczmarek, who it's not the first time we've come across her, obviously in the European final, of course, she pipped Rashida to gold on that occasion. And then, of course, she overtook, and there was just a sense you could just feel the legs kind of going towards the end in the straight. So that might be an experience thing. She's only 21 years old. That's what we remember. Her first Olympics final, semi-final itself didn't go all that well, albeit she did do the job in terms of qualifying second. But when you look at the times, that Kaczmarek got 48.98, and then you remember that Rashida Adeleke's PB is 49.07. So she would have had to exceed anything she'd done before to medal in this race. I think you've mentioned it's the fastest one that's happened before today, because she would have got bronze with the time she set today, the 49.28, had this been in Tokyo. So it's one of those things, you can't transplant someone from Olympics to Olympics, but it's just unfortunate.
I went further back, Raf. I was looking at it. She would have won bronze in Tokyo, gold in Rio, gold in London, gold in Beijing, gold in Athens, silver in Sydney, and she'd have been tied fourth in Atlanta, Jesse, which is the race when
Incredible.
the previous Olympic record was set, which was won by Marie-José Perec. So that was a really fast race. Paulinho ran a lifetime best, Nasser ran a season best, and Kaczmarek was 0.08 off her season best. Like, they ran out of their skin to deny Rashid Adeleke a medal.
Yeah, absolutely. And I was looking at, Raf was talking about splits, and sorry if there's a bit of background noise. I am in the corner of the stadium and the women's 10K final is going on, and it sounds like it's obviously going really well because it's very noisy in the background. But
I could
yeah, I
fill
was
you in. I
looking
have
at
it on in the TV here. I know I'm
oh
not at
you
the
do
stadium, but I could fill you in here. Yeah, I'll do that for you.
I was actually looking at her splits, so we got sent on her splits, and what I think is probably evident is Rashida was a 200 runner who has made the jump to 400. And I think it was her last 50 was what did the damage between her and Kaczmarek, because actually she was well in contention. She set up her first 200 really well. She ran a 23.2. The only person, about three of them, were within a hair's breadth of each other. The only person faster was Paulinho, and her first 300 was really good. It was that last 50 or 60 meters where Kaczmarek, who has a longer distance background, and when we heard David Gillick talking so beautifully about, explaining the 400 to you yesterday, Rashida is the 200, 400 runner. And I think that's where a bit more time and a bit more experience, I think this is only her third year of actually running 400s. And, as we've heard David talking through how to run 400s, it's a much more technical event than you think, despite there being no hurdles, nothing to jump, nothing to throw. It's a very technical event and does take a long time to get right. And I think that could be just something that Rashida is still learning. She's still in that learning process of how to run a 400. I think she set it up really well. I just think people who had more, a bigger engine than her, and that latter half of the race is what got her, because it wasn't that she ran a bad race. It's just, like I said, others ran better.
Yeah. As with all Ireland's athletes at this Olympics, really, she spoke remarkably well afterwards. I think it's just worth listening to her interview with David Gillick here.
Fourth place. I know it's not the result you want because you're a competitor and you're also a winner. Can you sum up how you're feeling?
Just a bit disappointed. I was just standing there and I couldn't believe it, fourth again. The race went by so quickly. I just don't even know what happened. But that was all I had today, and hopefully moving forward I'll be able to get on that podium. I'm so grateful to absolutely everybody who showed up for me today, who has been showing up for me for the past couple of years, my whole team, my coach, my family. Everybody, and I appreciate them so much.
It's tough out there because this event is so strong, a lot of strength and depth. A 48 seconds would have got you on the podium. We know that is there. It didn't happen tonight. But again, your race execution was good. You got out, you put yourself in the mix.
Yeah, I think so. I think I was just trying not to panic and be patient. It just comes down to experience, and further down the line, I think we'll be able to gain that repetition, confidence going forward, and I'll know how to put together a perfect race.
Because you're relatively new to the events, let's be honest, 1-2s, you jump up to 4s, probably only your second season really in the 400s. So there's a lot to take away, to be proud of. First Olympic Games, first woman to make an Irish Olympic sprint final. There's a lot of positives.
Absolutely, there is a lot of positives, and I'm grateful. I just really want more today, and I didn't come here to participate, I didn't come here to make the final, I came here to win a medal, and it didn't happen, but hopefully in the next couple of years I'll be able to sharpen up and gain that experience to put myself on the podium.
Well, you're one of the youngest, you're 21, you've got plenty of Olympics ahead of you, of which you will achieve what your potential.
I know, but I got to wait 4 years. I wanted it today, I've been working for it for today, and it didn't happen today, so this is life, this is sport. Things aren't always going to go your way, but it's about how you bounce back, you know, how you take this and make your future better. So I'm just going to take this experience, take this hurt, and hope the best for the future, and keep working. I'm as hungry as ever, and hopefully the future there'll be more podiums.
Absolutely, and the support you mentioned, there's thousands of people here for you. I know your family are here. What does that mean to you?
It means a lot, honestly. Having them here supporting me, showing me love. Absolutely everybody who's been backing me, all the fans that cheer for me, all people who send me text messages, congratulations, good lucks. It all means so much. Every little part goes towards what we see out here every day, so I'm really grateful.
Well done, and good to see you smile.
Thank you.
Yeah, look, Raf, it's really impressive. She smiled throughout. You know, she did the interview, she fronted up, and I'm sure she's done the interviews with the rest of the media as well, but she did say she didn't come here to participate. She came here to win a medal, and she's annoyed that she has to wait 4 years for another chance to do it. That's a very, very healthy attitude.
Yeah, it's a sign of an elite athlete who probably knows there's a huge potential in the future when she's older and more seasoned. I think, as Jesse has said there, you know, this is her third year running 400, and it's a very technical event. You know, there's huge potential here that she's not that far off an Olympic medal in her first Olympic final at the age of 21, having not really raced this distance for all too long. So, you know, the fact that she actually feels disappointed when you take all those things into account, I think it's quite refreshing in a sense, because it does show sort of this level of ambition. She knows there's a lot more there in the tank, and hopefully we do see it from an Irish point of view when it comes to LA in 2028, or, you know, she's still quite young. So in 2032 also is another target.
Yeah. Jesse, as a former Olympian and a runner at this distance, even if you did have those hurdles in your way, and as a performance psychologist, like, what happens now? Like, how long is the period of mourning for somebody when they win the paper medal, or whatever you want to call the fourth medal, and, you know, fourth place finish? Like, how long do you take? Obviously, there's Diamond League meets left. We know we've got tomorrow, and we'll discuss that in a minute. But once the Olympics is done, you'd imagine she's going to feel a little bit deflated. Will it be hard to be motivated for those Diamond League events, or is it a case of you got to get back on the horse?
Yeah, well, look, I don't think she's going to have too much time to mourn because it has been confirmed she's going to run. So I'm going to make a move because there's a lot of people suddenly, I think, trying to beat the crowds out of the stadium. So I'm just moving a little bit further over. And, you know, like she's confirmed to run the relay tomorrow. So the morning period is going to have to end or take a pause before tomorrow morning. And I'm actually really glad to know that she is going to do that relay. So I think, you know, we heard all the interviews of the girls this morning and the enthusiasm, the excitement. I think she needs to be around that. And regardless of what they do tomorrow, like there's potential for a medal. It's a huge ask in a relay. But I think it'll be a really lovely opportunity to finish this on a high and kind of be around people who are kind of in that infectious enthusiasm. Because I think walking away with a fourth place, as I said earlier, it's hollow. You know, I remember Thomas talking about, and I saw him, you know, obviously my own brother, and there's a few others that we have who had this experience, and they did say that, like, you are so close that you consider yourself nearly a medalist, but you don't have the medal. So even things like when they come to the homecoming, the medalists are going to be separate, and then there's everybody else. And those fourth placers are like, I was nearly there with those medalists, but I'm the everybody else. And that's a really hard pill to swallow. So I hope that whatever happens tomorrow, the girls go out and enjoy it. There's something different about a relay. You have to park your own individual ambitions. And I think, look, the mourning period might continue. I'm sure she'll be licking her wounds for a while. I'd say she'll be beating herself up for a while. But maybe, you know, if she still has the energy, maybe go into those Diamond Leagues and kind of with the pressure off, the monkey off her back, the Olympics over, just go out and run freely. Because the poor girl at 21 years old, she has been carrying the weight of a nation. She was the last of our big medal hopes to go. And we have bred success in this team now. There's an expectation that we just go and we win medals, you know, that like, that it just seemed like nearly a given. So I think she has been carrying a lot of pressure. She has been carrying a lot of expectation. So it'll be lovely for her to be able to finish out the season and go into next season, knowing that the Olympics is done. It's over, it's parked. She's now looking towards the next thing.
Yeah, it's a new experience for us, Raf, just before we finish up. You know, you covered a lot of football, a lot of other major sporting events. How do you kind of define or rank an Irish person like competing in an Olympic sprint final? Because it's a pretty new experience for us, or it's a rare experience for us. How would you describe it?
Yeah, no, certainly. You mentioned the football there. I mean, we're ranked. Actually, I'd have to check what our FIFA ranking is, but we're nowhere near what our peak would have been in the 90s. When you take a global sport like that, that is spread around in the different corners. And then you have an athlete in an event like the 400, and she's, let's say, fourth in the world based on that result. That is actually quite rare. And then also you mentioned, you know, when you bring in the women's 4x400 team that are, you know, seventh in the world, essentially second quickest from the heats. And then when you actually, if you were to throw Rashida into that as well, maybe that might change in terms of the potential, because they were only, without Rashida today, they were 0.32 off third fastest, and that was the French today. So and then when you look at the time from Rome, 3:22.71 in that final, in which they won silver for the women's at that stage. So they were about 2 and a bit seconds off. You wonder how much Rashida can bridge that and what the potential is there for tomorrow as well. And you never know. And this is kind of, these are heady times. And even if you extrapolate it away from the athletics as well, I've been to so many medal winning events over this last week or two. It's, you know, in a way that you wouldn't necessarily expect. But then you take a step back and it's Paul and Finchon who have done it before. Daniel Whitman, who was coming with a huge amount of expectation. And maybe things are changing. Who knows?
Yeah. So briefly then, before I let you go, Jesse, what about tomorrow then? It's the last event of the athletics meet. Fionnuala McCormack runs in the marathon, but, and I know that'll finish on the track, but it's the last event of the stadium track meet, lane 4, up against the United States, Great Britain, Jamaica, France, Netherlands, Belgium, Canada. Dare we hope to dream?
I think absolutely hope to dream, because that's a team who are all in form. If Rashida can bring her best, which I think, you know, she's coming with a little bit of hurt. She's a wounded animal today, and wounded animals can be dangerous. We know that Charlene is capable of 49 split, no matter how many runs are in her legs. And Sophie Becker dropped a huge time out of blocks today, which is faster than she's ever run. So that's even, you know, everyone's talking about how much extra time Rashida can bring in. But if we have Rashida coming in, taking another 2 or 3 seconds off, Charlene running what we know she's capable of, and then Phil and Sophie, who both performed out of their skin and probably ran faster splits than they did to win that European silver, why not dream? You know, why not? Because these are girls who are going in with nothing to lose. You know, you're in an Olympic final. I've said it before and I'll say it again. Anything can happen in an Olympic final. People can fall. The batons can drop. Hopefully everyone else's and not ours. But I wouldn't want anyone's baton to drop. I'd want them to, if they were to win a medal, I want them to do it on their own merit. I think they're absolutely capable. But look, everyone's gunning. It's the last medal on offer on the track. Everyone's going to be bringing their big guns. I think it's going to be amazing. We love relays. That brings a different energy even to an individual. There's a sense of fun. There's a sense of excitement that's different to the nerves that come with an individual. So I think it's going to be a really fun way to cap off what's been an incredible Games.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I suppose just to add as well, but just that thing about the baton falling, the US in the 4x100 would have been heavily tipped in the men's today, and look what happened. I'm not as honourable as Jesse in this kind of way in terms of if it all drops and that's the way that happens, you know, history only remembers the winners. Yeah. I think that's the way the phrase
exactly.
is.
An Irish journalist was arrested in Paris today for putting butter on the batons of every other Raff and his Kerry gold.
Well worth it.
Okay. Well, look, Jesse and Raff, thank you very, very much for joining me. We will be back tomorrow with our final Olympic podcast of the Olympics. And I'll have two facts tomorrow for you, Jesse, because actually with the excitement of the race tonight, I actually forgot to look up a good one. So I'm going to get two.
Don't you worry.
Tomorrow. I'll get two. Raff, Jesse, thank you very much. And everybody else, I will chat to you tomorrow.
Thanks,
good luck and goodbye.